letters, Lisa, and go to the right. Find red letters and go to the right. Acts chapter 6. Now, in the book of Acts, you're reading about the first church. In those first few chapters of Acts, you're reading about the very first church that Jesus started, the very first church that Jesus built. Okay, this is, if you want to know what the church that Jesus built was supposed to be, you're going to be able to find characters of that, qualities of that, that make it. Ooh, that's it. That's what we're supposed to be. And that's in Acts chapter 1, and you through those first several chapters. Now, in Acts chapter 6, we just finished reading. We just finished dealing with how do they deal with problems. When somebody mocks them, what do they do? Somebody tell me, when somebody mocks them, what do? But they talk about Jesus. When somebody threatens them, what do? This one's easy, y'all. Pray. They pray and they talk about Jesus. All of those, that's what these folks handle life like we're supposed to handle life. Now in Acts chapter 6, you're introduced to the solution to one of those problems. In fact, I think it is the solution to all of those problems. Are the kind of people that were a part of that church. You got your Bible open? Look in Acts chapter 6. Find the first man's name that's mentioned. Find the first man's name that's mentioned in Acts chapter 6. A fellow named Stephen. I want you to find him. Everybody got him? All right. I want you to list these things for me first. In other words, I got up here and got the donuts. Now you got to do the work. So look in Acts chapter 6. Beginning, we'll let you begin in verse, well, you could begin in verse 3 if you want to, but I really prefer you start in verse 5. And I want you to describe this Stephen. He was a member of that first church. He was a member of that first church, and there are five things. Well, I'm going to count them as five. There's going to be five things that we're going to see that describe him. What's the first one that you see? He was very good. Full of faith. All right, the next one. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of grace. Now, with that came another phrase. Go ahead and give that one to me because we're going to include it in here. Full of grace and? God's power, all right? Now, the other two are going to be harder to find, so you don't have to see them yet. You'll have to read between the lines to find the next one. I'll give you a hint of... All right, now that was, yeah, that's this one. That's the result of him being full of God's power, those miracles. But keep reading and you'll find one more before you get to his sermon. He was full of wisdom. Doesn't use the phrase full, but he says they could not withstand his wisdom. All right?
Actually, full of wisdom, the phrase is used earlier when it's talking about the type of man they were supposed to
the
be.
The kind of fine, yeah, yes. Yes. So that was the kind of people they were looking for in that church. If they were assigned to look for folks, that kind of folks in the church, what does that imply? They had folks like that in the church. That's, you want to be, so here's the point. Do we want to be the kind of church that we described earlier? Better yet, do we want to be the kind of church that Jesus intends for us to be? If we do, it starts by me becoming the kind of person that he can use to build that kind of church. Now, I've got to nod your head, clear your throat, wave your hand at me, give me high five, something. Is that making connection? Are we understanding what I'm saying? People talk about, we need that, let's have a church, let's have this kind of program, let's have that kind of budget, let's have that kind of building. What becoming his church is not about carpet, it's not about square feet, it's not about paint job. You need these kind of chairs. But other than that, you know, it's not any of those kind of things. What it is becoming the kind of person God wants you to be, because that's the kind of church he'll build through you, from you, on you. Does that make sense? Now, what does it mean to be full of faith? There's one more. We're going to get there in a minute. But to be full of faith is our challenge this morning then. God wants us to become this kind of church. He wants us to be people who are full of faith, like Stephen was. What does it mean to be full of faith? Now, there's some of you who are Bible students, and you already have an answer to that. Give us that answer. Teach us. Help us understand it. Those of us who are getting started are willing listeners. To be full of faith would mean what? Lacey is referring to a verse in Hebrews chapter 11. Now today, I'm not going to give you time to check out Hebrews 11, but I'm going to encourage you to do your homework. And I'm going to write it here on the board. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The whole chapter is about faith. And he will talk about in that chapter that people who are full of faith, people who have faith, are people who have strong convictions. If we're going to be the kind of men, the kind of women, the kind of people that they had in that first church, and we want to be the kind of people God can use to build that kind of church, we need to be people who are full of faith. We need to have some conviction. Now, honest folks, in this world, in our culture, if you have any kind of convictions, how do people look at you? Like you're judgmental, or you're goody two-shoes, or you're crazy, or you're fanatical, or intolerant, closed-minded, all of those kind of things. But God defines a person who is full of faith as a person who has a strong conviction. Now, are those convictions based on prejudices? Are those convictions based on preferences? Now, we got to make sure, we've got to be careful of this. Are those convictions based on what we want, how we want, like we want, when we want, where we want, how we... No. How are those convictions built? From the Word. Michael just held up his Bible, the Word of God. It is, our convictions are based on God's will, not my preferences, right? But now, Hebrews 11 is also going to show that those convictions are there because there's confidence in God. So a person who is full of faith is a person who really believes that what God says is going to happen is going to happen. That God is going to do what God's going to do. And then last and not least, you're going to read every... Let me take that back. I almost said every. Meant to say every, but that's not... Not every person in Hebrews 11, this word is used, but it is implied. Every one of those people, either it says directly or is implied, that when they heard what God wanted, they obeyed. So if we're going to be men and women of faith, we have got to have a commitment. We've got to see it through. We have got to do what God wants us to do. We're going to be full of faith. So how does that happen for us? How does that happen for us? How does faith come for us? They're quoting a verse that, again, I'll add it to your homework. In Romans chapter 10, in Romans 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. You want your faith to get stronger, then you've got to get into God's Word. Now stop a second. That's not how that's how faith comes, but that's not the only way that faith grows. How does faith grow? And this one's easy, y'all. This is just, how does anybody grow in strength? How does anybody grow in faith? How does anybody grow in... You got to exercise. You got to go through the tests. You got to do the obstacle course that life is, and you got to keep using that faith to overcome those obstacles. And when it happens early in your life, you get stronger. And when you fail, you just keep going. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going. Full of faith. Now, I'll say this later. We'll focus. But if that's the kind of people we want to be, and we're about to send Rex to Honduras to represent the Lord and to represent us in Honduras, what kind of man do we want Rex to be? A man full of faith. And in a minute when we give him our charge, we will be giving him this charge. Rex, whatever else you do, become a man who's full of faith. All right? But it also says he's full of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to look at this one. You're going to have to find this one. So hold your finger in Acts 6 and turn to the right. You'll go past Romans. There's Acts, and then the next one is Romans. Keep going to the right. You go to 1 Corinthians. Then you're going to go to 2 Corinthians. Keep going. I don't want to lose you. And then go to Galatians. It's a little bitty short book. So if you end up at the maps, you've gone too far, all right? So look, you've got Romans, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians. Everybody got, I want to give you a chance. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. I love watching people help other people find those verses. Galatians 5. You got it? Oh, you're good. You found it. Excellent. Galatians 5, 22. What do I learn about a person who is bearing the fruit of the Spirit? All right, hang on. I want to make sure everybody got it. All right. All right, Galatians 5, verse 22. If a person has the Spirit, if they're full of the Spirit, what kind of characteristics do they develop? What kind of characteristics do they grow? What kind of fruit is possible in their lives? What is it? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There are 9 different qualities, okay? 9 different qualities that show that a person is full of the Spirit. Now, hang on a second. Let's make an examination first. Because here's what I've done all my life in church. Read about Stephen, some man full of faith, he's got love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and long-suffering and self-control. God bless him. He's just a great person. And then I've preached that we need to be people full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. We need love, joy. And I've been able to quote that verse. This is not about Stephen, y'all. This is about us becoming the kind of church God wants us to be. Where does it start? It starts with me becoming that kind of person. So be honest. Examine yourself. Would you honestly acknowledge, admit, confess, do you lack any of these characteristics? Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, self-control, gentleness. Those words, they're not just words assigned in the Bible. That's the way we're supposed to live. So if I find in me where I'm not very gentle, what do I know? I got some work to do. I've got to let the Spirit do some work. I've got to let God have His way with me more in those particular areas. So how do I get there, y'all? How do I get there? How do I let these things grow? And I don't want you to be too philosophical, too spiritual, but tell me, how do I do that?
You know, for me, I look through this, I think it depends on the time of day.
And the person I'm talking to.
Yeah. I look through here and I'm thankful to God that I can see progress in all these in my life over the last 60 years, but still on some of them, most of them, there are some big gaps between where I am and average basis and where I need to be. Yeah. So it's and what really seems to make a difference, it's kind of like the alcoholic's prayer, Lord, grant me grace to be sober today.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, grant me grace to be full of your spirit today. Lord, grant me grace to deal with things in the spirit and not in the flesh. You know, let me not let my humanity crawl or anything, but your spirit be the controlling, guiding force in my life.
You're going to find that prayer is really helpful. It's God is the author of these things. His spirit is the one that produces those things. So begging God, seeking God's help in these areas would be a way to develop those. How else do I develop those? I watch other people who have those qualities and try to imitate them. I mean, who is the one person we know in Scripture that had all of these qualities? Jesus did. So if I watch Jesus and He becomes my example, and I begin to really think in terms of how do I treat my wife like Jesus would? How do I treat my kids like Jesus would? How do I treat my brothers and sisters like Jesus would? How do I treat my boss? How do I treat my best friend? How do I treat my worst enemy like Jesus would? Then I'm conscious of it, so I'm putting out an effort. I'm seeking God's help, so He's putting in the effort. And if I'm walking with Jesus and He's working on me, what happens in my life? I love the word that Gary used. He said, progress. Because is there a day that I go through that checklist and say, got that one? And you're never going to do that. Because you're always going to be able to grow in those areas, right? All right. Full of the Holy Spirit. And again, here in a minute, we're going to charge Rex to be a representative for Jesus and to be a representative of this family in Honduras. Be that man. Be a man full of those qualities, full of the Holy Spirit. But the challenge, folks, for us is for us to do that. And not let it be just a sermon that's preached. Not let it be a program that's budgeted. Not let it be something like that. Or a thought that just passes. Let's take that and make it our agenda. Today, I want to focus on these things. I want to become a person more like Jesus in these areas. All right. Then he said he was a man full of grace and power. Now, I put a parenthesis around power, not because I make light of that. In fact, that is marvelous for God's power to work through you. The reason I put a parenthesis around it is because that's completely up to God. God is the one that grants that power. But can I become a person who is full of grace, with God's help, of course, but do I have some will in that matter? What does it mean to be full of grace? Peace, love, joy. What does it mean to be a person full of grace? Think it through a second. When you looked at Stephen, what did you notice about him that would make somebody say, man, he's full of grace?
He prayed for the people that stoned him at the very end.
He prayed for people that stoned him. What would you have seen, though, before then? What would you have seen before Stephen ever died? In that moment, we see it for sure. But before Stephen ever died, what would make you think he was a man full of grace?
He's concerned about others.
Yeah, in fact, all you have to do is define grace. What does it mean? Yeah, all right, now put it in real practical living terms. What does the idea of grace mean?
You don't get what you deserve.
Yeah, and so if I'm full of grace, that means I treat people better than they deserve. I treat people the way Jesus treated me. I care about people more than I care about myself. I'm a gracious person. Do we want to be... I think I know the answer to this, but are we serious? Are we real serious about becoming the church that God wants us to be here? Because if we are, we have got to become people full of grace. First of all, we've got to receive His grace to get us over ourselves. Instead of us dragging around all of our baggage, let's realize God has given us grace and we are free from that past. But then we've got to stop treating people like they've got a past. That makes sense? I've said it before, and again, it's not a claim, but it's a prayer and it's a hope. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. When you walk in here,
we're all the same.
By the grace of God, we are. We all have an opportunity for a brand new life. So I don't know what list of sins were forgiven Wednesday night when Chris and Isaac and Lisa were born into God's family. But I know that every one of those sins was taken away, just like it was taken away the day I chose to follow Jesus. And so how do we look? We're all the same. We are full of God's grace. Why can't we treat others that way? And that's what he means. Full of grace means you treat other people like God would treat them. And that's how you say full of grace. You treat people like Jesus would. Let's be that kind of people so God can help us be that kind of church. And Rex, when you go to Honduras, you represent Jesus, of course, but you also represent us. Become a person that's full of grace.
Now, there's an underlying concept in grace because to me it's one of the most fascinating concepts in Scripture. It's the form of the word is often translated thankfulness. To me, it's kind of an overriding, underlying notion of you understand the depths to which God, well, maybe not fully, in fact, maybe not even partially, but you got a concept or an understanding of this is what God has done for me. You are so thankful for that, that it just pours out into how you deal with other people.
Exactly.
It becomes more of a natural outflowing because you are so full of thankfulness, so full of grace.
Now, you and I know that Gary's right in that because used to, back in the day, before you had supper, your mom or dad said, okay, we need to say grace. It's an expression of our thankfulness for all the things that God has done for us. We need to be people who are full of grace. The next one says they could not withstand his wisdom. So I think it's right, would be okay for us to say he was a man full of wisdom. But I want you to look and I want you to just scan. Now, you don't have time to read. Read from that point on through almost all the way to the end of chapter 7. Just scan it. Look at the chapter headings if you need to. Just look at phrases, look at phrases, look at phrases, and you're going to see one of the reasons that he must have been considered a man full of wisdom is because he knew the Scriptures. He knew God's Word. He was full of God's Word. He goes back and tells the whole Old Testament Bible story. He starts at the Genesis and almost gets to the maps in one lesson to show, look what God has been doing for you and look what you people have been doing to God's people, God's leaders, ever since God's been working with you. We say this so often here, I don't think we get tired of it, but I sure don't get tired of reminding me of the need of it, and if it helps me, maybe it'll help you too. We've got to be people who know His Word. We've got to be people who let God define things, and we know God's definition of things. We've got to know what God wants and not just what we want. It is easy to build a church according to what we want. It is easy to build a church according to what we want. You just include a little bit of everything. Remember I told you the story, knocked on a door one time years ago in Ohio. It was inviting people in my neighborhood to come to church. And a lady said, oh, thank you for your invitation. Said, but I have my own church and that's where we'll go this week. And I said, okay, ma'am. Said, could you tell me a little bit about your church? And she gave me the name of it. I don't remember. But it was not a brand name. It was not a name that you would have recognized. I know there was some thought of it being like a community type church. And I said, and I'd never heard of it. So I was curious and I used to be a church junkie. I wanted to know all these churches and what all of them believed. So I said, what do y'all believe? And she said, well, really, we just have a little bit of everything. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, whatever you want to do, we let you do. Now, I can see in some areas where that would be kind of interesting. I could see in this group it could be dangerous. So, but if we're going to be the church that He wants us to be, we've got to be people who know His Word and are full of the wisdom that comes from His Word. Does that make sense? Not just being able to quote Scriptures, but being able to take those Scriptures and apply them to the way they affect my decisions during a day. And not just my decisions, but help my wife and my children with their decisions. And then to help each other share with the wisdom that God has for us in those things. That's what His Word is for, is to help us that way. We want to be this kind of church? Then let's be those kind of people. People who are full of His wisdom. And that wisdom, how does that happen? We get in His Word and we ask Him. We say it here every year. Every summer we talk about the Proverbs and we talk about the wisdom of God from Proverbs. And how do we get that wisdom? We ask God and then we read His Word. There are lots of other things we'll discuss, but summer's not here yet, so we'll move on. But Rex, you're going to represent Jesus. You're going to represent us. Become a man full of wisdom. Get to know God's Word. Give you a hint. It doesn't come from reading what somebody else says about His Word. I got nothing against reading good books. Love to read good books. Bob keeps me a good steady stream of good books to read. Now he knows they're good books to read because he read them. But if you want to get to know God's Word, you've got to read God's Word. Then other things you read can help you understand those things. But you can't know God's Word without reading God's Word. All right. Now the last one, and we've already talked about it. It's right toward the end. Those men begin to stone him. We're not going to go through it, but I can't imagine the pain. You've been hit with a rock or a clod, you've been hit, somebody accidentally hit you with something and it hurt, and you rubbed it and that kind of stuff. What if they had your hands bound and they were throwing things at you? You might be able to cover, but it is going to hurt. And there is pain involved in this. And this not just talking about pain. We're not just talking about bumps. We're talking about broken bones. We're talking about wounds. We're talking about eventually he will die from those wounds. These people are not just trying to hurt him. They want him dead. And they are so consumed with their anger, they don't care the consequences. They don't care what the Romans are going to say about what they did. They're going to kill this guy. They don't care what happens. In the midst of all that pain, in the midst of all that, he looks up and he says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Father, read it. You tell me. What does he pray? What does he pray? Do not lay this sin to their charge. Do not charge this sin to them. Don't hold this against them. Now, who does that sound like? Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Because one of the last things he said on the cross was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Folks, this one sums up all of them. In fact, this would have been enough for us to just focus on this one. But if we're going to be a church that claims to be of Christ, claims to be a church that is for Christ, we need to be a church that is like Christ. We need to be a church. We need to be people who are full of Jesus. Not just His will, not just His words, but His way of dealing with people. I used to say it all the time. When a group of AIM students would be leaving, back when I taught in that program, a group of AIM students would be leaving and they'd be going off to places like Honduras, Scotland, New York, Portugal, places all over the world. We'd talk about the fact that you're representing Jesus means you need to be you need to be people full of faith. You need to be people full of the Holy Spirit. You need to be people full of grace. You need to be people full of wisdom. But I gave most attention and effort to this one. Because the truth is, Jesus said to his own followers who were leaving him to go serve others and represent him to others, he said, let me tell you, it is enough to be like Jesus. I know we're not a church like every church in town, and I suspect there's lots of churches in town that are grateful for that. Our interest is not in becoming what they are. It's not becoming what the church used to be. My interest is us becoming the kind of church that we ought to be. And in that regard, it is enough to be like Jesus. Does that make sense? Do we want the best church? Do we want to be the best church we can be? We want to be the kind of church He wants us to be and this community needs us to be? Then let's be a church that's like Jesus, full of Jesus. And our charge is to Rex. Not only where you sit, but across the street and down the road and in the plane and over the ocean till you get into Honduras. It is enough to be like Jesus, right?